Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the TBH Sports Podcast. I'm your host, Tyler Henry. It is great to be with you here on a beautiful afternoon in March. Of course, a lot of action going on in the world of sports. We already had a chance to talk with TJ Sakala earlier this week about some Premier League and Champions League action. We're looking forward to some upcoming conversations regarding the Major League Baseball season, also the Formula One season ready to go. But right now, there is only one thing at the forefront of everyone's mind, and that is March Madness. We'll have a conversation here about March Madness, get you a full breakdown of the bracket, some upset picks, and of course, who we think will be going to the Final Four. But first, just wanted to catch up with you guys a little bit. It's been about a month since we were putting out these episodes consistently. The last time that we were doing so, I was in North Carolina. I'm now in Colorado working for the University of Northern Colorado as the baseball and women's soccer broadcaster. A lot has happened over the course of the last 4 weeks, but just kind of wanted to give you guys an update on where I am and what's going on right now. Of course, I'm living here in an Airbnb in Loveland, making about a 35-minute commute down to Greeley for the UNC games. You can catch those games on the WAC Digital Network. The Northern Colorado Bears will be back in action at home at Jackson Field next week. But for now, again, a lot of talk coming up here on March Madness. The bracket is set. The play-in games begin on Thursday, and then, of course, the games everyone actually cares about begin on Friday. And to break down the bracket, to break down some upset picks, and a lot of other good stuff regarding March Madness and the tournament itself, Ethan Jordan will be our guest today, and we will cut now to our conversation with him as we get set for the March Madness tournament later this week. We now welcome in Ethan Jordan to the show, or rather we welcome back Ethan Jordan to the show. Ethan, of course, one of the more recurring members of this. So, Ethan, good to have you alongside us here as we work our way through March Madness. March is it's finally back, isn't it?
Yeah, it's good for March to be back, and I'm glad to be back here. I've got a tough act to follow, though. I mean, TJ Sakala from Zambia.
Yep.
After that, no one wants to listen to me talk about basketball. Forget this.
I mean, to be fair, I think no one wants to hear anything I have to say for the rest of this show. Not that they did before, but certainly not after that.
Well, I can just talk the whole time, and that works.
Fair enough. This isn't Road to Glory, Ethan. Come on. No, I'm just kidding. We have a lot to talk about. The bracket is already out. Games technically start tomorrow, although I refuse to say that March Madness starts tomorrow because the first four is still just, you know, a power-hungry cash grab. I can't stand it, but I won't rant about that on the show. Let's go ahead and get into the 64-team bracket as it sits right now. So we've got a couple of things to talk about, but let's start by talking about the eight teams with the best chance of making it to and potentially winning the national championship, and those would be all the 1 and 2 seeds. We don't need to spend a ton of time talking about them, but let's definitely touch on at least these eight. Gonzaga, Baylor, Michigan, and Illinois are your 1 seeds. Iowa, Ohio State, Alabama, and Houston are your 2 seeds. And let's go ahead and start with the best team in the country. This Gonzaga team is one of the few teams that I've seen in the last couple of, in the last several years, that I feel like is a heavy favorite to win a tournament that is always wrought with chaos. I don't know how you feel about it, Ethan, but this Gonzaga team feels as confident to me as that Villanova team from a few years back that steamrolled their way through the tournament. They're number 1 in offensive efficiency, number 10 in defense. They've got 2 lottery picks that'll be headed to the NBA next season. I don't know if they're going to get stopped at any point this year.
You took the comparison right away from me there. I was going to compare them a little bit to that Villanova team from 2018, and they're the same with that Villanova team in that a lot of times we want to pick against the 1 seed. We want to say, no, the 1 seed's not going to win it. And that sometimes comes true. But this team, there's no holes to poke in them. You mentioned Corey Kispert and Jalen Suggs, the 2 lottery picks that will come from this team, especially Suggs. What a phenomenal player, Jalen Suggs, the freshman guard. He does everything. He's the motor for this offense. He can make shots, especially timely ones. He is a really brilliant passer. But what he does on the defensive end is so important and I think will translate very well to the NBA. He's the leader of this team, and then you have Kispert working with him. They have a great sixth man out there, Andrew Nembhard, as well. So there's nothing to poke at with this team. Most ones, you say, well, they don't rebound well, or you know, in transition, they're not great in transition. No, Gonzaga does it all. The only knock you can say is, hey, their strength of schedule wasn't that great. they haven't lost a game this year, and they've only had one game decided by fewer than double digits. That's just absurd. I don't care what division you're playing. I don't care if they're playing in the RMAC, for all I care. If you're winning games by double digits like they have, this team is ridiculous. Now, they're going to get tested, and we'll get into that in a little bit, by some of the teams coming at them here before they can make their way to the championship. But I don't really have anything negative to say about Gonzaga, and I'm not alone in that. Unfortunately, I'm not going to come in and make things interesting and say, "Well, you know, I don't like Gonzaga. This team's ridiculous." They're just so fun to watch too. They're just a joy to watch play basketball. Their offense is so free flowing. Doesn't seem like Mark Few even has to run plays some of the times. They just are able to find the open man. They play beautiful basketball, and they are going to be a problem.
Yeah, and you know me. I mean, you and I have been doing March Madness shows for the last 5 years. And you remember, there have been a few years where I look at Gonzaga and I'm like, look, I don't see it. I just look, they don't play anybody throughout the course of the whole season. I'm not excited. This year's Gonzaga team is easily the best team in the country. There is no two ways about it. And they have the opportunity to be the first undefeated champion since Indiana did it back in 1976. So, you know, again, the one seed that we'll certainly spend the most time talking about, and I'm sure they will come up a number of times throughout the course of this show, this Gonzaga team is loaded, they're ready to go, and as you mentioned, they're just as deep as they are wide. They've got a ton of talent. The other one seed that a lot of people are raving over is Baylor. Look, they come in here number one in the nation. They make 42% of their threes. They lost just two games all season long, one to Kansas and then the other in the Big 12 tournament. If anything, I think that loss in the Big 10 tournament or in the Big 12 tournament might help them a little bit. Sometimes it's easy to get complacent, especially when you've won that many games in a row. But I do think they got a little bit of a wake-up call that they're not unbeatable. This Baylor team is really, really good. And you talk about a team with three stars, Jared Butler, Davion Mitchell, and Maceo Teague. I mean, these guys have been absolutely shredding the Big 12 throughout the course of the entire season. This is another team that, you know, if you're talking about the contenders to maybe give Gonzaga a run for their money, this Baylor Bears team is going to be up there.
They have certainly been considered the team to do that throughout the season. Unfortunately, they had that COVID pause that really threw a wrench into their season, and they just haven't looked the same defensively since that point. Obviously, you mentioned the three guards. That's the best trio of guards in the nation. No ifs, ands, and buts about it. And that team, when they are running right, is just as good as Gonzaga. And let's all hope they meet each other and nothing comes in the way of that. But that little pause, they looked pretty terrible in the Big 12 tournament. They looked bad against Kansas State. You think, oh, maybe they got a wake-up call. No, and then they come out flat against Oklahoma State, as you mentioned, and they lose that game rather badly, too. They need to find that defensive rhythm again. It's not – don't worry. They're not going to have a problem with Hartford. I'm not worried about that. But they need to find that defensive presence again. And I've just been really concerned with their center play. They have three guys down low there, and they're all undersized. And that's not the focal point of their offense or even their defensive effort. They're great defensively on the perimeter when they're running right. But they have some problems with size down low, and they're going to see a couple teams that might be able to exploit that. They've got to be running on peak efficiency in order to make up for that difference. And we say all this, and you're like, wow, you're really hating on Baylor here. I'm not talking about when they play Hartford. I'm talking about when they start going up against these higher level teams, and they won't for a while. I really don't think they'll be tested really until the Elite Eight, to be honest with you. But until that point, they have some games in order to find that rhythm and to kind of get back into shape, playing shape. Maybe that Oklahoma State loss is a wake up call. They can only hope. I think they'll be just fine. Don't get me wrong. I think they're going to be okay, but there is some things to work on for Baylor, and that bandwagon is starting to empty a little bit for the Bears, but I think they'll be just fine.
Yeah, I think, I also just want to point out, you may be a little biased as a former employee of the Baylor Bears.
Full disclosure, I am technically on the Baylor Bears payroll, just to disclose for journalistic purposes.
With your three softball games for Learfield IMG College. Also, six. I didn't realize those were double headers. Congrats on getting a Learfield IMG play-by-play spot before me, by the way. Big shouts.
I thought about that.
I remember, I told my buddy Matias, and he was like, wait, so you're telling me Ethan got to do play-by-play for Learfield before you did, despite the fact that you worked for him for a full year? And I said, yeah, that's more or less what happened. Just a closing thought here on Baylor. I think that, you know, you talk about the lack of bigs. I think that that is something that not a lot of people focus on, especially when the three-pointers are falling, but it starts to be something that people will think about if the three-pointers are not falling. And you talk about the COVID break. Look, the hardest thing for a rhythm shooting team is to lose that rhythm. And if you want to lose your rhythm as a three-point shooting team, you take some days off. That's exactly what happened when they had the little bit of issue with the COVID. But yeah, hopefully they can bounce back. And again, I'm really hoping that after a poor performance in the Big 12 tournament, they will be able to bounce back and look really good. Trying to move through these one seeds here. Illinois is another team that I think is underrated a little bit. I think Illinois, yeah, they're a one seed. It's hard to say, well, they're underrated. They, I think, have the same odds of winning this tournament, in my opinion, at least when you look at their path, as a team like Baylor. And look, this team might be the hottest other than Gonzaga coming into the tournament. Look at what they've done over the last 3 weeks. They beat number 23 Wisconsin, number 2 Michigan by 23. They beat number 7 Ohio State, Rutgers, number 5 Iowa, and then number 9 Ohio State again. This team has been absolutely killing it throughout the course of the entire season, and they've been doing it in a conference that is more loaded than any Big 10 or Big 12, or ACC for that matter, that I can remember over the last several years. So this is an Illinois team, man, they have got some big pieces, and I'm telling you, look out, because if you look at what they have to go through, it's going to be tough, but man, I think this might be the second or third best team in the tournament.
Oh, no doubt about it. They are, without a doubt, a top three team in this tournament. And I think part of the reason they get underrated a little bit is they're Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Right? And I happen to think they're in the easiest quadrant of the bracket for my money. I think they'll be okay.
Really?
Yeah, I really do think that particular quadrant is easy. They're not going to be super tested, I don't think, until the Final Four. I really don't. Houston's good. Tennessee's all right. That's a good Tennessee team. Oklahoma State's not deep. I really don't think they're going to get tested until they wind up in the Final Four. I think they have the easiest path of any one seed to the Final Four. Let's put it that way. That doesn't mean I say they won't be tested. Maybe they will be. You never know. But on paper, they have the easiest path to the Final Four of any of these number one seeds. And they have some things that make them a good tournament team. Some things you look for. They're very, very deep. You don't always love a team that just has one guy who can score. He has an off night, you're out of the tournament just like that. They have a plethora of scoring options. And they've got some muscle down low as well. Koki Cockburn down low, and then you've got Ayo Dosunmu out on the perimeter with Andre Curbelo out there as well. And heck, you got Trent Frazier who can come off and score if they're not getting it done. This team really is deep. I like what they've done this year, and you mentioned it. They're hot. They're coming in really hot. They beat the pulp out of Michigan earlier this month. And we'll talk about Michigan in just a moment. But I really like that gritty win they had against Ohio State in the Big 10 tournament. I really thought that was great. I think that was a good kind of leaping off point for them going into the tournament. Well, I imagine we'll talk about Illinois a little more later, but yeah. What can you say? They're a little bit Gonzaga-like for me in that there's not a lot for me to poke holes in.
Yeah, I think the beauty of Illinois is that they are deep, as you mentioned, which makes them incredibly dangerous. And they feel like one of those teams that because they don't have the same type of talent, like they have the talent, don't get me wrong, but they don't have these guys that they're not Gonzaga. They're not going to have two lottery picks this year in the NBA draft. So the thing that I think makes them more dangerous is what are the teams that we see do well in March Madness? It's usually the veteran teams that have a lot of guys that just play well together. And that's exactly what Illinois has done throughout the course of this entire season. The only thing that I wanted to add really quickly, personally, and again, maybe I'm a little bit biased because I covered a school in the AAC for the last year. I think Houston is leaps and bounds better than Ohio State, at least in my opinion. That is the only reason that I would say I think Illinois has an easier or has a harder path, because I definitely do think that I agree with you. Oklahoma State, yeah, maybe. Tennessee really doesn't faze me that much. But I'm telling you, if it comes down to Baylor against Ohio State and Illinois against Houston, I feel much better about Baylor's odds of advancing to the Final Four. But again, we'll get into all that a little bit later on. It is kind of interesting, though, when you look at some of the gauntlets that some of these teams have to go through to get to that point. before we talk about, you know, some of the upsets that may or may not happen. But there is one more one seed we need to talk about, and that is Michigan, who are in a very interesting spot because they're coming into this tournament as a bit of a wounded duck. This is a Michigan team that's lost three of their last five. Those losses coming to Michigan State, Illinois, and Ohio State. Two of those, look, really good teams. Nothing to be too freaked out about. The Michigan State loss, I get that it's a rival, still doesn't really look good. And maybe more importantly than all of that, they are going to be without Isaiah Livers, who is absolutely huge for them. So my question to you with Michigan, Ethan, is this. When you strip away Livers and you look at what they have left, you look at what they're coming into the tournament with, how much of their stock do you feel like takes a hit when you remove Isaiah Livers from the equation?
Well, it's a great unknown for Michigan in some senses, because without Livers, you don't exactly know what you are going to get from this team. And they looked okay in the Big Ten tournament. I mean, they ended up losing to Ohio State barely. Those Michigan-Ohio State games have really been a treat this year. But forget football, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Give me more Michigan and Ohio State basketball. But Michigan, it's just an unknown. It truly, I think the reason their stock has dropped is partly because, yes, you lost a key part of your team, but also partly because we don't know what they're going to look like without Livers. And you don't like to bet on an unknown. So I think it's a wait and see for them. I don't know how much we'll glean from them playing Mount St. Mary's or Texas Southern. But going forward in the tournament, I think they will have a little bit of an interesting test if they can move on and face a solid LSU team. But I think their discipline on the defensive end is the big difference for me with them. And I think even without Livers, they can still do that. I think they will go a little deeper than some people are giving them credit for. But when they start facing the big boys and push comes to shove, that may be where we'll finally see that missing piece with Livers out.
Sure. I think that if this injury gets sustained halfway through the regular season, I think you have time to figure it out, and you can take a couple of losses in the process of doing that. But I think the part that makes this so intriguing is this is happening right around the same time as the NCAA tournament. And now, you know, again, you lose a game, you're done. So this is going to have to be something that they, you know, they had a little bit of time to try to figure it out, but they are going to have to figure out how to play without him very quickly, regardless of who they're facing. I think Michigan could potentially be primed for an upset, but I agree with you. I think that they're a lot deeper than people give them credit for, and I think that anyone that looks at, okay, Isaiah Livers is out, Michigan's no longer scary, yeah, no, get out of here with that. That is not the case. We also have 4-2 seeds. I don't want to spend quite as much time talking about these teams, but we will touch on all four of them really quickly. Let's start off with Iowa, who has the National Player of the Year in Luke Garza. This team is just crazy. And I think the thing that impresses me the most about Iowa is, again, they came out of the Big Ten with some of the opponents they had to face throughout the course of the regular season. They really do have, I think, the most impressive resume of all of these two seeds coming in. This is an Iowa team that I think I may even consider taking to the Final Four if it weren't for the fact that they're going to have to come up against Gonzaga at some point. But I don't know. Are you as high on the Hawkeyes as I am, Ethan, or are you a little bit lower on this Iowa squad?
No, they're definitely, for my money, the best two seed in this bracket. Unfortunately, yes, they have to play Gonzaga, and that sucks for them because truly they run such a great offense that it's kind of scary. It really is. If you're a coach watching film on this team, you're shaking in your boots watching just the way they're able to run offense. They can run inside out, outside in. I mean, you have C.J. Frederick feeding it down low. Obviously, we know about Luka Garza. I'm not going to tell you what you already know. He's ridiculous. Good luck guarding him, by the way.
He's one of those guys that, like, there are years where there are teams, and again, if it comes down to you need someone to hit a game winner or you need a big bucket late, you know who's going to get it. And I'm sorry, but there just aren't enough good defenders in college to slow down a guy like Garza. It's not going to happen.
He gets double teamed and he doesn't care.
Yeah. No, he has the coconuts, as our friend Andrew Varga would say.
He's ridiculous. And their guards don't turn the basketball over. That's another thing you notice with Iowa. That's huge in the tournament. Turnovers are brutal any time of year. They get worse in March. I like this Iowa team. Sorry you guys had to play Gonzaga.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. Let's talk about another two seed here in Ohio State, a team that I think is also almost a little bit of an unknown coming into this tournament. Not an unknown, but I think of the two seeds, they're the one I'm the most shaky about. Look, I get that their schedule was brutal down the stretch, but they lost five of their last seven. They have at times looked like kind of a mess this year. I don't know that they're a team. Again, they are loaded with talent. I'm not discounting the fact that they could get hot, but this is an Ohio State team that, I don't know, man. I feel like these are the kinds of teams, especially in the tournament, that sometimes will just lose one of those whoopsie games, and that's all it takes to knock you out.
Yeah, Ohio State's a reasonably solid defensive team. They're hard to have a handle on as well. They played Michigan close enough, which tells me, hey, this is a good basketball team. That really gave me what I needed to know about Ohio State. Just the fact they were able to be in these close games with Michigan and stick around. I'm with you on Ohio State, though, really. I don't have a great read on them. I like them, though. And when I say I don't have a great read on them, I don't have a great read on them against a team that can really shoot the ball and plays at a quicker pace. But until that point, until they come up against a big bad, I think they'll be okay. They're not the type of team. They're sound enough that I don't think they're going to lose to a Virginia Tech or a Florida. Even a Texas Tech, I don't foresee that happening. But when they come up against, say, Baylor, that's when it gets a little shaky for me. But they've been in close games against really good teams. I think where they could have their downfall is if they face a team that has a great inside presence. And if they run into Gonzaga or Iowa after that, could be a problem. But that's where they could exploit Baylor. I don't know. Ohio State's a bit of an unknown quantity. I agree with you.
Sure. You know, you talk about it's unfortunate that Iowa is going to have to play against Gonzaga at some point. I think what's more of a modern tragedy is the fact that Alabama is probably going to have to play against Texas. Who, by the way, who let Texas be a three seed this year? I still don't understand that. Look, this is an Alabama team that I think has the perfect mentality to be in the bubble. Look, I think in a normal traditional tournament year, this could be a Bama team that you look at and you maybe have some questions. But when you look at the style of play that they have, I try to avoid making comparisons between college and the NBA, especially when you're talking about teams, because it's really not fair to do. But they do have a little bit of that Miami Heat mentality. I mean, look, they play just absolutely swarming defense. They're going to get up in your face. They're not going to let you feel comfortable when you're shooting the ball. And on the other side, once they have you worn out, they really start to lay into you with the scoring. This is an Alabama team that I think in certain quadrants of this bracket, I could actually see making it to the Final Four. But unfortunately, again, they are just going to have a gauntlet. Now, granted, if they get past Texas, if they do play Texas, I think whoever comes out of that matchup could very well be your Final Four pick from this side of the tournament. I think they are equipped to beat a team like Michigan, especially with Livers out. But this is an Alabama team, I'm telling you. This is one to watch. This is one of the best Alabama basketball teams that I've seen. And it's not just one guy like Colin Sexton running the show anymore.
No, Alabama, they're fairly competitive. They can shoot from all five positions. That's the first thing you notice from them. They can really run a nice perimeter spread offense with all five players on the floor, which is going to be a problem for some of the teams they're going to face up defensively. Just not something they've seen or are equipped for.
Yeah,
and they get it done on both ends of the floor. They're a really long, tough defensive team. And those two things are really great news if you're in the tournament. They historically have been something that benefits teams in the tournament. And I really like Herb Jones for Alabama. He is a guy who really allows them to run transition so well and makes them one of the best transition teams in the country. He gets the steal, pass, and get them out in transition instantly off the steal. And that's where it's so dangerous. They could be down by five, and then 2 seconds later, all of a sudden, you're looking up and they're up by seven. They're that quick to score in bursts because they get stops and turn it into a transition. There's a lot of good teams that are good in transition, but they can't get the stops to get themselves out in transition. Alabama can. They're going to be nasty. They are. We will talk about them a little bit later.
Yeah, no, because, we will put a pin. We will put a pin in the Alabama conversation, and we will come back to it. But there is one more. There is one more two seed that we have to talk about, and I would like to introduce myself as the I'm the traveling salesman, and I'm going to try to sell you on Houston here because I don't know how familiar you are with Kelvin Sampson. Really quickly, are you familiar at all with Kelvin Sampson?
Say that again. You broke up a little.
Oh, sorry. Are you familiar with Kelvin Sampson, the head coach at Houston?
I know he's the head coach at Houston. I know he brings teams into the Final Four and makes them a lot better than they should be.
Okay, let me just give you one quick story here. I'll try to keep this as short as I can. So I had an opportunity while I was working at Learfield to do the Houston Coaches Show and just listen to Kelvin Sampson speak. I've heard coaches give speeches before. This wasn't even that. This was just him talking about his guys on a Sunday afternoon in his own home, and he had me ready to run through a wall. The way that he works with his team, the way that he understands the pieces that he has, and the way that he plays to those strengths, this is a Houston team that in other years, maybe without that knowledge, even looking at the roster, even looking at the numbers, maybe I wouldn't be as sold on. This Houston team is disgusting. And again, covering them in the ACC, I had a chance to watch a couple of games. They've got Quentin Grimes, Marcus Sasser, and Dejan Giroux. They are as dangerous as they are deep. They've got 7 guys on the roster that can knock down a 3 at any given point, and you never know where the scoring is going to come from. Part of that is just Kelvin Sampson's system. This might be one of the more dangerous 2 seeds, and I think a lot of teams, or not a lot of teams, but a lot of people making brackets aren't going to give them the credit they deserve, but I'm telling you, watch out for this Houston team. I know they have a couple of bad losses on the resume, but this team is nasty when they get it going.
Yeah, they're a terrific offensive rebounding team. And if there's a team that has an off shooting night, they're going to take full advantage. It's just a matter of, can they do that against Illinois, who's going to match up really well against them down low, and they don't miss a lot of shots. Can they do that against Illinois if they somehow make it past them? Can they do that against, say, a Baylor? I just don't know if they're going to be able to do that against some of these bigger, tougher teams in the tournament. But up until that point, I'm with you. I like Houston. Don't get me wrong. It's just a matter of, are they good enough to beat Illinois? I mean, that's, I think, the question. I have them in my bracket up against Illinois in the Sweet 16.
As do I.
Or, pardon, in the Elite Eight, pardon. But I don't know if they can get past them. I don't know if they can beat the Illini. I just don't think Illinois will open the door for them to do so. But that's a discussion we could have in just a few minutes.
Sure, of course. Well, one last thing on Kelvin Sampson, one of my favorite quotes that I took away from him. So he was asked during this coach's show how he felt about going up against a Temple team that had a guy who I believe they have 6'10", 6'9", and another guy who's 6'9", and they don't let opponents get rebounds. And he was asked about that team, and Kelvin Sampson, without hesitating, just goes, well, I mean, if you like tall guys, I guess you're going to really like them in this matchup. And then they went and they absolutely destroyed Temple, and they beat him on the boards by like 15 points. And he was like, yeah, that motivated us a little bit. Yeah, just a phenomenal guy. But anyway, we have talked about all of the 1 and 2 seeds. Now it's time to get into the fun stuff. This is why we do this. And before we get into this segment, I am going to go ahead and put this out here at the beginning, because it will inevitably come up. Ethan and I, again, we've been doing content together here for 4 or 5 years now, and we didn't compare brackets before the show, did we?
No.
Okay, cool. We are going to inevitably have a lot of the same things here. That's just how this always works. So I'm just going to put the disclaimer out there now, but let's talk about some round one upsets. Let's go ahead and go in order, at least numbers wise, from your, how many big upsets do you have picked here in this first round?
Oh, I don't know. I do not have a running total of upsets. I have one, I'm just looking at the West right now. I have one, and then one that I didn't pick, but I really wish I could have, and I want to, but I want to talk about it just to say I said it, but I'm too afraid to pick it. And then in the South, I have a minor upset, one big one that I'm not 100% confident on, one smaller one. That South is really interesting. I've got one in the Midwest, actually two in the Midwest. And one possibly in the East. So I've got about one per side, and maybe a few more to throw in there.
Okay, sure. So I've got 4 really spicy upset picks. So let's just go back and forth. I'll hit you with mine and a justification. You can do the same on your end, and then obviously we can have a little back and forth here on some of these upsets that we have picked. We'll start in the Midwest. And again, I this is where I get a little concerned. We might take each other's, but if we alternate, then we'll still get the original. So, looking at the looking at the West, looking at Gonzaga's quadrant of this, I have picked 13 seed Ohio over the University of Virginia. This is a Bobcat team that has a guy named Jason Preston. He's one of three guys in NCAA history to average 16 points, 6 rebounds, and 7 assists throughout the course of the season. One of the other guys who did that is Jason Kidd. His team put up 31 points in a 2-point loss to Illinois. Ohio almost beat 1-seed Illinois earlier this season. He is an absolute machine. And again, we've seen guys like this carry bad teams. We saw Ja Morant. I mean, obviously he's not as good as Ja Morant, but we've seen guys carry teams like this. And the thing for me with Virginia, look, Virginia is incredibly well coached. You know what you get when you play the Cavaliers, but that slow, methodical, grind you down, defensive, low scoring style of basketball, if you're not putting the points up that are necessary, or if you have a guy, in this case, a guy like Jason Preston who can get through it, you can find yourself in trouble. I think every year that Virginia is in the tournament, they are always a risk to get upset because of that. And honestly, I just think this is a fascinating matchup. I am taking the Bobcats over UVA in round one. I don't know how you feel about it, but that's one of my big upset picks here in round number one.
No, I've heard that one thrown around. And maybe. It's not one of those where I'm like, yeah, that's ridiculous. I could see it. I think this Virginia team is a little more fast-paced than the team that won the national title. I want to say last year, but it wasn't last year, 2 years ago. So I think they have just enough to get past Ohio. But I do think Virginia will run into a little bit of a problem with the University of California, Santa Barbara.
Ooh, big Lobos guy.
Yeah, the Gauchos.
Gauchos, my bad.
Go Gauchos. The Gauchos, I think, have what it takes to beat Creighton. And it's unfortunate because I actually like this Creighton team.
Mm-hmm.
But I really like this UC Santa Barbara team. LaCorey McLaughlin, I think he's glad he transferred from Oregon State. But maybe not. Oregon State's also in this tournament somehow, some way. This dude is shooting 43% from three. If he can get hot, they can contend or beat almost any team in the nation. When you have a player like that in a reasonably deep team that doesn't turn the ball over a lot, I like what they can do. And if they can shoot the ball from the perimeter, especially with McLaughlin, they have a good front court with Miles Norris and Mondu So. They are good up front and just good enough to kind of work with some bigger teams because they're coming out of, I believe, the West Coast Conference. The Big West. West Coast Conference, that's Gonzaga. I always mix those two up for some reason. So you figure, okay, that's always the problem with some of these mid-majors is they just don't have big enough guys. And I think they do have that presence down low enough. You contend with the Creighton. It's just looked a little scuffly coming into this one. UC Santa Barbara's on a roll right now. You like to choose the hot team. They're hot. I like them to win their round one matchup.
Fair enough. Hypothetically speaking, if both of us end up being right, who do you like in a matchup between Ohio and UCSB?
I think Ohio matches up well against UCSB, actually. So I could see Ohio with Preston kind of taking over. I think it depends on if who has the bigger game out of Preston and McLaughlin.
Sure.
Whoever has that game, I think the stars in that game will decide it. I like Ohio a little bit more in that matchup, but I don't think they'll play each other, so I'm not worried about it.
Sure, fair enough. Also, shouts to my former roommate, Jake Hermata, who went to the University of Ohio, who I asked him about this pick because I felt decent about it, and then I talked to him and I felt really good about it. Maybe I did get a little too much of the fan perspective there, but either way, I think the Bobcats are certainly an intriguing team. Let's move on to a different quadrant of the bracket here. Let's move across to the right side and talk about some potential upsets maybe in the southern region, that is the Baylor and Ohio State region of the bracket. I don't know if you have anything here, but I've got a spicy pick for you. I am taking, and again, these are all conditional. These could all fall apart. That's the way upset picks work. But you know a few of them are going to happen in the tournament. What is the one thing that we love Ethan, about teams that maybe could pull an upset in the NCAA tournament. What's the stat we love to look at?
3-point percentage?
3-point percentage. Would you like to guess what Colgate is shooting from beyond the arc this season?
Oh, something ridiculous.
It's 40%. They are second in the nation, only to the Baylor Bears. And look, I think this is a good Arkansas team. Like, I really do. I think that this Arkansas team is considerably better than teams we've seen in the past. But look, this is a Colgate team that also plays defense. Granted, in a conference that is not necessarily that good. They rolled through their season at 14-1. They had a long break because of COVID, but ever since they came back, they have gotten the 3-point shooting rolling. They are holding opponents to under 70 points a game, and they are averaging 86 points a game themselves. And in the NCAA tournament, if you can hit your threes, sometimes it doesn't matter how good the opponent is. If your shots are going in, you give yourselves a chance. And that's why I think Colgate has a very valid case for a potential upset over the Arkansas Razorbacks.
Yeah, that's interesting. I don't hate Colgate. It's more, I really like this Arkansas team. I think they're one of the more underrated teams in this tournament, despite being a three seed. I think a lot of people have kind of just written them off. So I actually don't have this upset the same. Not because I don't think Colgate is a team primed for an upset. If they're against a different team, I would definitely be considering it. But I like this Arkansas team quite a lot. I like, they have a great balance. They don't turn the ball over. So I think they've got good shooting. They don't turn the ball over. And they've got a good group of scorers. And it seems like I'm repeating myself, but that's what I look for in tournament teams. And Arkansas has all of that. I think Colgate, if some of those shots aren't falling, they're going to have a big trouble getting rebounds. Connor Vanover, I think he's 7'2", 7'3", or something. Mm-hmm. He's a big boy down in the middle. They're going to have some trouble getting some rebounds. If those shots are falling, though, you just never know when the shots are falling. But I like Arkansas. I really like this Arkansas team, and so I have them somehow surviving Colgate's shooting barrage and
sure.
Moving on.
Let's just say I'm glad Colgate's not the 14 seed playing Kansas. That's all I'll say. But yeah, no, I think that's the other thing, though. If you're gonna brick a shot, it might as well be a three, and it's a higher chance that it doesn't go right to the 7-footer underneath the rim. But yeah, I think Arkansas, look, if Colgate can't hit their shots, this could turn into a massacre. Do you have any big upsets coming out of the South region at all?
I do.
Is it Winthrop?
It is Winthrop.
Ooh.
Here's why.
Okay.
So we all know Colin Gillespie out at Villanova, and that's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
I think Villanova could probably beat Winthrop, okay? I think Jeremiah Robinson-Earl is good enough down low, and I think if he has a good night, he can carry this Villanova team to a victory against a lower seed by himself. He's been a little inconsistent for my liking this year. He has not impressed me as much as I hoped. He's still a great player. But here's why I have picked Winthrop. And it's not because I necessarily am 100% sure that Winthrop is going to beat Villanova. I don't think even if Villanova beats Winthrop, they're going to last past the next round.
Mm-hmm.
Without Gillespie, Purdue's going to have a field day with them. So in my mind, Winthrop has a good chance of beating Villanova for an upset, right? I'm not saying they're likely to, but they have a good chance. So why not take the risk if Villanova isn't going to be around very long anyway? That's kind of my philosophy. So it's more of a risk assessment bracket strategy than truly a look at the game itself.
It's an economic upset pick.
Because Villanova's not going to go anywhere.
Yeah, so no, I agree.
If they move on and I miss a point in my bracket, darn.
Yeah, but no, that's
my upset pick. It's nothing spicy. I also have Virginia Tech over Florida, by the way. I like this Virginia Tech team.
I do not, too. The Virginia Tech Florida 10-7, I think, was maybe the easiest 10-7 pick that I had to make. There were a couple other matchups. Obviously, we don't have time to talk about all of them, or the show would be 8 hours long. But yeah, there are some that you look into the numbers a little bit, and you're like, okay, that's an easy one for me to decide. All right, let's move on to the Midwest region. This is the Illinois and Houston side of the bracket. I thought for a brief second, just because I really don't like Tennessee. Not necessarily this Tennessee team, but just Tennessee in general. I was like, man, Oregon State could maybe beat Tennessee. And then I did a little research on Oregon State, and I was like, you know what? No, Oregon State cannot beat Tennessee. So I do have Tennessee surviving that matchup, but I don't have them playing Oklahoma State. As a matter of fact, I don't even have Tennessee in the Elite Eight, because I think this Liberty team is actually really freaking good. Look, what's the other thing? We love three-point shooting percentage. They've got that. They knocked down 39% of the threes. But here's the other thing you need to know about the Liberty Flames. They've won their 12 games in a row right now. They are fifth in the nation and second among tournament teams in three-point shooting percentage. And this is an Oklahoma State team that, yes, they ran the gauntlet of the Big 12 tournament. It was very impressive. They beat West Virginia. They upset Baylor. They lost to Texas in a close final. This is a team that I think two things come from that Big 12 tournament. Number one, this team has to be exhausted. I don't care how many days off you have in between the Big 12 tournament and this. You gave everything that you had to try to win that. And number two, I think they're a little bit cocky at this point. I think this is an Oklahoma State team that may be coming out of that tournament thinking, look, we beat Baylor. We don't have to worry about Liberty. Liberty's not going to upset us. And those are the teams that sneak up on you. So I've got Liberty, again, not just winning one game. I've got them winning two games. And I think that this could be the new Cinderella school that we see right up until the point where they play Illinois, at which point I don't think they have a chance.
I also have Liberty coming out of their first round matchup. I really like this Liberty team, and I do not like this Oklahoma State team. I get it. Cade Cunningham is the best player in the nation, is probably going to be the number one overall pick in the draft. Have fun in Minnesota, Cade. Sorry. It's okay. If he's the number two pick, he's going to Detroit. So, you know, it's okay. Don't be a lottery pick in the NBA. How about that? You're going to go somewhere you don't want to live.
Yeah, pretty much.
This year. The only place you want to live, I think, is Houston. But anyway, besides that, maybe Atlanta. I think Atlanta has the 10th. But I like Cunningham, but you talked about how Oklahoma State is exhausted. I'm more looking at how Kate Cunningham is exhausted.
Yeah.
This man has put this team on his shoulders all year long, and they're going to rely on him to do that again against Liberty. This is a Liberty team that is a lot like the Virginia team that won it all. They're a slower pace, shoot the ball well. They have one of the best effective field goal percentages in the tournament. They don't turn the ball over. And they just run slowly. If Cunningham goes nuts, Liberty's going to have a tough time keeping up with him. But I don't think he will. I think they'll be able to shut him down just enough. And perhaps, maybe they'll just say, Kate, go do your thing. We're going to shut everyone else down and see if we can shoot well enough to combat the best player in the nation. I think this is an upset waiting to happen. The argument against it is that Cunningham's not going to let them lose this game. And I don't think that's a bad reasoning, and that's what made this one tough for me. But I really like this Liberty team. I think they're moving on. I'm with you. You stole one of my favorite upset picks I had there. But yeah, well, I like this Liberty team quite a bit.
Well, I apologize for that, but I will give you an opportunity as we move over here to the eastern side of the bracket.
I have one more.
Okay.
And it's just another quick 10-7 to throw out there.
Hit me.
I like Rutgers.
Okay.
I know you're a known Rutgers hater, Tyler Henry, but I like this Rutgers team. And I don't really like this Clemson Tigers team. I think they scuffled a little bit. I'm a little sleepy on them. But I like Rutgers. They've been challenged this year, and I think they're better for it. And they've got, here we go again, multiple scorers who can get buckets on their own. And they're good on both ends. So
yeah,
I like this Rutgers team.
And they were playing in the Big Ten while Clemson was playing cupcake schools that are, some of them aren't even in the tournament, like Kentucky and Duke and North Carolina. I'm sorry, this tournament just makes me so happy. Anyway, we'll tell you what, you lead me perfectly into this, because now that we're talking about the eastern side of the bracket, I don't have a big upset pick on this one, so let me just go ahead and throw out my little 10-7 upset that, you know, is ultimately not that meaningless. We don't need to talk that much about it, but I think Maryland is going to take out UConn. So interestingly enough, I talked about how I got some insider information from my former roommate, Jay Cremata, who went to the University of Ohio. Also, got some inside information from my buddy Matias out in North Carolina, who's covered this men's basketball team throughout the course of the entire season. Look, yes, UConn comes in as the 7th seed, but similar to what you said about Rutgers, Maryland played in the Big Ten this year. They went through the gauntlet, and they came out 4-7 against top 25 schools. UConn has faced off against four teams that were ranked in the top 25 this year. They are 0-4. This is just not a team that I trust at this point in the tournament, and I feel like that's something that Maryland can really exploit to their advantage. So with that being said, I will turn the mic over to you, Mr. Jordan. Do you have anything spicy here in the first round of this, or is it kind of business as usual here in the eastern side of the bracket?
No, I like the Maryland over UConn pick. I'm not thrilled with UConn. Regardless, I don't think either of them are beating Alabama, so you can't really go wrong here. The one I do not like, but a lot of people are picking, is this Georgetown over Colorado business.
I agree. Yeah, don't do that.
if Georgetown was playing Tennessee, if Georgetown was playing Creighton, even if Georgetown was playing Villanova, I'd think about it. I think Colorado's the best 5 seed in this tournament. This is a team, I get it. They lost in the Pac-12 tournament. Big deal. They lost to a ridiculous Oregon State team that just was doing things and fine. This Colorado team is good. And I think they've got versatility. McKinley Wright is stupid. He's ridiculous and does not get talked about enough because he plays in the Pac-12 in a landlocked state. But I really like this Colorado team. Georgetown, they have their fun in the Big East tournament. Good for them. Bye-bye. You're out of here. I don't like that pick at all.
Yeah, this was a down year for the Big East, too, I feel like, overall.
Yeah, and Georgetown had to get hot. Everyone was asleep on Georgetown, so they went nuts in the tournament. Good for them. Way to steal a berth. Enjoy being in the tournament. Go away.
Yeah, I more or less agree. I think for what it's worth, too, other than Purdue, I think Florida State might be the best 4 seed. That could be a fascinating matchup as well. I mean, we may talk about that later, but that's just one to kind of keep an eye on if it does happen.
I agree with you. The one upset I do have, I have the 11-6 upset. I think Michigan State matches up so well against BYU, and I think Michigan State will beat UCLA. I don't like UCLA that much.
I don't either.
I have not been impressed with them really at all this year. I do not like UCLA, and I won't bother you with why, but I think they play a little bit of hero ball. I don't think they're as succinct of a unit as they could be. Michigan State, on the other hand, though, I think they could – they're a little grumpy. You know, Michigan's getting all this love. They're a little grumpy, and I think they could go ahead and beat BYU. And it's kind of a weird reversal there, Michigan State being the Cinderella against BYU. But I think they match up very well against them, and if they beat UCLA – I think they will. I think they'll also take care of BYU. And guess what? I don't care about that pick as much because neither of them are beating Texas. So, but for what it's worth, Michigan State over BYU.
Sure. Fair enough. All right. So really quickly, we'll talk about a couple of second round upsets. But before we move on from this first round, I just want to...
I have two more things.
Okay, sure. Very quickly. Go for it.
I need UNC Greensboro takes.
Okay, so here's my advice if you're looking to buy stock in UNC Greensboro. All right, sell as fast as you possibly can. Do not, whatever you do, trust UNC Greensboro to do anything positive in this tournament. And I'd like it noted, now that I've said that, they're gonna go on some kind of a crazy run to the Final Four. Just you watch. But I am in a coma on UNCG.
I have not gone to throw out my spiciest take just yet.
Oh!
And okay. It's so spicy that I didn't even pick it in my bracket because I don't have the guts to do it.
Is this the one you're too... Yeah, this is the one you're too afraid to say. Okay, hit me. What you got? I'm ready for it.
Don't be surprised.
If you say Eastern Washington, I'm hanging up.
No. Do not be surprised if Grand Canyon has a run at Iowa.
Okay, yes. No, I'm not upset at this at all. I wanted to do the same thing. There is too much evidence that Iowa is so far beyond Grand Canyon University in every way, shape, or form. If it was any other 2 seed, I would think about it. I would think about it. But I can't bring myself to do it. But you're right. I absolutely adore the Lopes. I would love to see it.
If it was Ohio State...
Oh, I'd do it if it was Ohio State.
If it was Houston, I'd pick Grand Canyon. Alabama is a different story. Yeah. I love Alabama. But I want to do it really bad.
If it was If it was Ohio State, I think I would have had them going 2 rounds. I love the Lopes.
I think the Lopes are really good. I think no one pays attention to them because they're Grand Canyon University.
Mm-hmm.
They were nasty. In their particular conference in the WAC this year, and they did it to a couple of schools that had good years in the WAC, and they just said, forget it, we're going to beat them all up. And I think they match up fairly well against Iowa. I think Keegan Murray can guard Luka Garza as much as you can guard Luka Garza. I just worry because Garza is so unguardable.
Yeah, He can stand in the same proximity and make Garza think about the three he just drained over him, but that's about all he can do. Fair enough. So before we move on from the first round here, I wanted to ask, and we're going to do this for each round. This is the only thing that we'll do for all five potential rounds of the tournament. But let me just ask you really quickly before we move on, best possible matchup in the first round. Everything after this will be projected, but of the ones that we know are going to happen, what is the game that you are the most interested to watch here in round one?
Round one's a tough one for most interesting game. The one I want to watch the most, I think that Arkansas-Colgate one stands out to me. I think that's going to be a really fun matchup. If Colgate's shooting the ball well, I think it'll be close. And honestly, my pick would be Iowa and Grand Canyon. I think it's going to be a good game.
I hope it is. Yeah, I sincerely hope that it's going to be a good game. I think the one that because I already talked about it, I don't want this to be my pick. I think that Liberty Oklahoma State game, regardless of the outcome, I think that is going to be fascinating. But the other one that I have an eye on, it's the other upset pick that I had. I think that Ohio Virginia has the potential to be one of those classic March Madness games where we're all just like, wow, all right, the Ohio did that. But you never know. You never know. Really quickly, before we get into some upsets for round two, of the projected matchups that you have in round two, what do you think is the best round of 32 matchup? That, again, if it plays out the way it is on your bracket, you cannot look away from this matchup.
It's Florida State and Colorado. I think that's going to be one of the most interesting games. If Colorado can control the pace of that game, because they play with a slower pace, they need McKinley Wright to be hot. If you're a team from the Pac-12, you need your star to be hot but if McKinley Wright can be hot, I mean, that's kind of a granted, right? If your star player is not playing well, unless you're Gonzaga, you're in trouble. But I think if they can control that pace, then they'll be okay. Florida State really likes to push the ball. They have a little more talent than Colorado. I think the X factor for Colorado in this tournament is Dallas Walton. He is the player they have been missing for years because he has been hurt for years. He's constantly injured, but when he's in the lineup, he is such a skilled big man. He's not a bruiser down low, don't get me wrong. He's big, he gets rebounds, but he's not a bruiser. The way he can shoot the ball, the way he can get to the line and convert from the stripe as a big man can wreak havoc on teams. Colorado can shoot from the free throw line, another thing I like to look for in the tournament. I think that's going to be just a fascinating matchup against two teams with opposing styles. Whoever can dictate pace is going to win that game. I'm excited for that matchup.
Sure, that's more than fair. I think one that you and I both have it picked in terms of being a matchup that we will see. Look, if it comes down to another Cinderella darling in Liberty against a Tennessee team that just cannot beat Cinderellas, and more to the point, just likes to choke in big spots, that's just kind of what Tennessee does in every sport that they play. That could be a really fun game. Again, I think that Liberty plays the style of offense, and I think Tennessee can match pace with them for the most part. I think that could be one of the better matchups. The other one is actually my big pick here for a round two upset, so I'll save that for just a second. But again, if the matchup dictates it, watch out for Tennessee and Liberty. And look, for as much as we kind of joked about how it might not be as competitive on paper, I still think Villanova-Purdue could be a really fun matchup. If those two end up meeting, I do think Purdue certainly has the upper hand, but that, especially with the two teams that are just historic tournament teams, I think that could be a fun one. So one that I would certainly kind of keep an eye on. But while we're talking about round two upsets, this is where things start to get a little bit more spicy. In terms of big upsets, I only really have the two. I already kind of teased one of them earlier, and that's Liberty over Tennessee. I think if it happens, I like Liberty's chances in that game. Again, we talked about why with Liberty earlier. We know the history behind Tennessee. I don't want to spend too much time talking about that matchup, but since I threw that out there, quote unquote, first, I wanted to give you a chance for the first possible really spicy round two. This can come from any quadrant of the bracket. What is another big upset you have picked here in round two?
I only have two, and you don't have either of them because you have both of the teams losing in the first round. So I'm not worried about you stealing them. I think Ohio will test Virginia. I think UCSB will beat Virginia. And here's my logic. I think if UCSB wins in the first round, it will be because Ja'Cory McLaughlin went nuts. And if he's hot, they're going to be a tough team to beat for Virginia. So I'm assuming that McLaughlin, because he won in the first round, is hot. A little bit of Carson Edwards energy. I think that the Gauchos take it in the second round as well. I think they beat Virginia. I think Virginia is going to be tested by Ohio, and then UCSB will finish them off.
All right, fair enough. I had a, obviously we would never talk about a 9-8 upset in the first round, but I do have a 9-8 upset that I then have turning into a 9-1 upset. Because if you're keeping an eye on Colorado, if you think they're getting to that matchup, I don't think they're going to be playing Michigan. I think they're going to be playing St. Bonaventure. I really, really like the Bonnies this year. I kind of liked them coming in, and then the more I looked, the more I liked. Look, this is a St. Bonaventure team. Again, Isaiah Livers is out. Michigan is a little bit wounded. Not 100% sure what they're going to look like coming into this. The Bonnies are another one of those teams that they have the identity of a team that can pull an upset in a game like this. They play five juniors. They won their tournament. They're just one of 25 teams in the entire country, not of all who are in the tournament, who rank top 50 in both offensive and defensive efficiency. I don't have them going any further than that, but I do think that this is a St. Bonaventure team, man, that they could really, really make this tournament interesting, especially if Michigan's not coming in here at 100%.
I don't hate the take of the team coming out of the 8-9 matchup to beat Michigan, but it's not going to be St. Bonaventure. It'll be LSU. I really like this LSU team. I think they're a tough defensive team that would have to kind of sneeze at St. Bonaventure in order to lose to them, and I don't think they will. I think LSU matches up incredibly well against Michigan. I think LSU beats Michigan. And so, yeah, we both like a team coming out of there. I think LSU takes care of St. Bonaventure. I think this Tiger seems a little bit too stout defensively to really let the Bonnies have a run at them. And I think they match up perfectly with Michigan. And without Isaiah Livers, Michigan might be in a little bit of a tailspin, and LSU has a chance to seize the moment there.
Sure. I think LSU definitely has better scoring. I don't know. It'll be one of those that gets to be an interesting matchup, but I think it will be a very fun, certainly if you're talking about a good 8-9 matchup possibly in that first round. The other upset, I have 2 6-over-3 upsets, which, you know, again, I don't need to go too much into detail. I don't think that they're anything that crazy. One of them, as much as I hate to pick it, USC, I think they're beating Kansas. This is a bad Kansas team. If I'm honest, I don't know how this Kansas team ended up being a 3 seed. Kudos to them. In a year where every other blue blood school is just either not in the tournament or like North Carolina is an 8 seed this year. Kudos to them for putting together a good season, but they're not good. They're really not good. They are going to get manhandled down low. They just don't have the pieces necessary to make a run this year. This is one of the worst Kansas tournament teams that I can remember in all my days as a Jayhawk fan. So I've got that. But I also think there is another certainly more interesting matchup that we could see, and that is a possible upset win for San Diego State over West Virginia. So while we're on the topic of picking against Big 12 schools, this is an SDSU team that I really kind of like, and I can see them kind of making a run here. I do kind of like West Virginia, but I think that they're more of a system than the parts within it. I think that they lack the talent to be that classic press Virginia that we see in years past, and I think I see a way forward here for San Diego State. So those are my only other two notable upsets in round two. I think 2 6-3 upsets could make the world a little bit more interesting, and again, look, if Kansas makes a run, great. But if they don't, I will be the least disappointed that I have ever been as a Kansas fan watching them lose in the tournament.
I don't love that Kansas team. And again, for bracket purposes, I pick USC over them. I think Evan Mobley can really do it to that interior. Kansas, he plays well.
What interior? There is no interior.
Yeah. So, and then whoever it is going to lose to Iowa. So That's fine.
Or
I also have USC over Kansas, so.
Or they'll lose to the Lopes. You never know.
There's another team I like. I like Oregon. I think Oregon could have a run at Iowa, too. But all these teams are running into Iowa, and Iowa's really good.
Yeah.
They're just not a 2 seed that you like to pick against. There's some that you do, and Iowa's not one of them. I'm looking at my round two. I do not have San Diego State beating West Virginia. I think San Diego State's going to have their hands full with Syracuse in the first round, and West Virginia will take care of them. I think West Virginia-Houston's going to be a great matchup, by the way. If West Virginia-Houston happens, I like this Rutgers team. This is one where I will not make my final decision on my bracket until, you know, the first game tips off. Rutgers and Houston, I think Rutgers could have a go at Houston. I really, really do. And I currently have Houston moving on, playing it safe. I really like this Rutgers team. They are, like I said, they have been tested this year. And they've got a nice pair of young guards. And they score off the dribble well. And I think that's important. They're versatile. They have good interior defense, which is going to be really important against Houston. I think it comes down to that interior defense of Miles Johnson, who's their interior guy. He's going to have to do work on the interior in order to take down this Houston team that rebounds really well. I like Houston a lot, but I also like Rutgers a lot. I will not pick that matchup until right before the tournament starts. Sometimes I feel like, you know, you feel like you have too many upsets. So maybe that was part of the reason I picked Houston as well, just to, you know, balance things out.
But. Yeah, sure. I think that's more than fair. Let's really quickly, we're only going to mention, I mean, unless you have something else to add here, which of course I'll always open it up to you. But in terms of the Sweet 16, the only thing I wanted to ask you, what is your marquee matchup? In my opinion, there might only be one right answer to this. There could be some games that get interesting, but for my money, if I could only choose to watch one of my projected matchups in the Sweet 16, I know which one it would be. Let me just see if we're on the same path here. What are you thinking?
I assume you're going to pick Illinois-Houston.
No. No, Sweet 16.
That surprised me.
Sweet 16.
Oh, Gonzaga-Iowa. Duh.
That's the same thing. No, the round before that.
Am I in the
you're talking, yeah, you're talking, you're talking Elite 8. No, you're good, you're good. It's been a long day. Nice. No, Sweet 16.
Sweet 16, oh, Alabama-Texas.
Yeah, Alabama-Texas. Look, there's only one right answer. It's Alabama-Texas. And you know what? I think it's a crime that these teams have to run into each other. I mentioned we'd pin this conversation for later. This game could be the best game of the whole damn tournament. I mean, if we're being completely honest. And you know what? Here's the crazy thing. I have one of these. I have the team that I have winning this matchup, making it to the Final Four. If these teams were on separate sides of the bracket, if Alabama and Houston switched places, these are two teams that I could see both making it to the Final Four. These teams are ridiculous. And if you're going to talk about it, I mean, again, we have already kind of talked about what Alabama brings to the table. This Texas team might actually be better.
I disagree, but sell me on Texas, because this was a tough one to pick, obviously. It's a bit of a coin flip in my mind. Sell me on the Longhorns.
Sure. I think Texas is one of those interesting teams because they do have a bit of a reputation, but they've been kind of rebuilding that basketball program for a number of years. I think this might be one of the better Texas teams that we've seen. The thing that makes Texas so dangerous, other than the obvious, which is just that this team can score like crazy. They average 75 points a game. Granted, that's less than Alabama. But they have also been so tested against good opponents playing in the Big 12, and they impressed me in a lot of those big victories. You're talking about a team that is 7-6 against the top 25. A couple of those wins were really big, and they didn't come early in the season necessarily. You look at their losses this year, they're almost all quality losses. They lost to Texas Tech, West Virginia, Oklahoma State, but again, that was one of those patented, Cade Cunningham is going to go out and drop all the points. They lost to Baylor, which, you know, it happens from time to time. But again, this is a team that they never stop. You're never out of the woods with them. And they're also a little bit deep. They've got a number of guys that can come off the bench and really provide an extra spark. And that's where the Big 12 got in trouble. Some of these teams that weren't as deep when they'd start putting in the 6th, 7th, 8th guys in the rotation, Texas would just run away with it. Now, I do think that Alabama is certainly equipped to potentially beat this team. I think this could be, you know, again, a very, very good matchup. But overall, if you're looking at the body of work that Texas has put up this year, they're one of the few teams that I've had a chance to actually watch a lot of, and they have done nothing but impress me when I've had an opportunity to watch Longhorn games this season.
Yeah, that's the premier matchup of the tournament. I think Alabama versus Texas is going to be insanely good. I like the Tide a little better because I think with their ability to shoot the basketball, they can stretch Texas just a little bit, and they have good perimeter defense. But, again, best player in the matchup is probably Jericho Sims. Mm-hmm. And if he can go nuts, then I like Texas. This one's a coin flip. I've got Alabama. I just think they can stretch him out enough. And I think they're good enough down low. I think they really bruise down low. Their defense is really solid. Just, I think their defense is better than Texas as well by a hair. I like Alabama in this matchup, but it's the matchup of the tournament. I think it's going to be so much fun.
Sure, I completely agree. And again, I think regardless of which team comes out of it, this is the only matchup in this round where I feel confident saying, look, the team that comes out of this, that's your Final Four team. Other than the one seeds, which, I mean, duh. Like Gonzaga, probably going to be in the Final Four. But anyway, just that's going to be a fascinating game. It's a shame that you and I can't watch that together, have a beer or two. But I'm sure we'll be texting back and forth during that game. That is going to be an absolute blast, assuming we get it and something insane doesn't happen. We don't have a Maryland upset of Alabama, which I don't think is even possible. But you know, it is March. Anything can happen. We have worked our way here to the Elite Eight. You mentioned a couple of matchups that could be very good. We'll just go ahead and put them back on the table. Gonzaga, Iowa, if that happens. Illinois, Houston, if that happens. I think either one of those could be a fascinating game. But of those two, if you had to pick one to watch, which would it be?
Oh, Gonzaga, Iowa. I don't think
that's, I agree,
particularly close. I have one more Sweet 16 matchup I want to throw out there.
Oh, sure.
Ohio State and Arkansas, I think, could be really fun that I have on here. But I'll just throw that out. I think this Elite Eight is going to be really entertaining because there's the two matchups you mentioned. The Baylor-Ohio State matchup could turn into a good game. And then I have LSU against Alabama, and I think that could be a sneaky, sneaky good game. These two teams are fairly similar, actually, in some ways. I like Alabama in the game, but I think this LSU team is poised to go on a run. They're a team to watch out for. I like this LSU-Alabama matchup. This whole Elite Eight is going to be a blast.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating. Also, keep in mind, this Alabama team only beat LSU by 1 point in that SEC tournament. So we could be in for a show there. So we are to the point now where, you know, we'll get some Final Four picks. We'll talk about who we think is going to come out as the national champion. But before we do, there is one very important order of business that needs to be taken care of. I don't know if you know where I'm going with this. But there's one team that has not been mentioned on the show yet that we have to talk about.
I know who it is.
It's Loyola Chicago. Because as much as we like to say Illinois is wonderful. They're deep. They're good. They've got size. They've got length. They've got experience. They're coming in hot. But Sister Jean just got cleared to be in attendance at these games. And I'm sorry, but there is no way that we can sit here and act like Loyola Chicago doesn't have a chance. This Loyola Chicago team might actually be better than the Ramblers team that we saw take down some of the best teams and make it to the Final Four a season ago. I guess technically now two seasons ago. We didn't get a tournament last year, which is a shame. What's your feeling on Loyola Chicago? I know you've got a sticker on your laptop. How do you feel about the Ramblers this year?
I did at one point have a sticker on my laptop because, for those who don't know, I picked Loyola Chicago to go to the Elite Eight the year that they did so. They went to the Final Four, correct?
Yep, they did. Yep.
Yeah, I did not pick them to go to the Final Four. I had them not quite going that far, but I had them going to the Elite Eight. I got called crazy by you and Alex Weiner, probably deservedly so. I remember it well because let me find this bracket because I remember I picked them to beat somebody and you're like, okay, fine, good upset pick, we like that, right?
Yep.
I was like,
I can tell you, I
this team.
I can tell you who they played in that second round if you want it. I remember because I know where we were when we watched it. I think that's where you're going with this.
Well, certainly. Let's see here. No, because the second round was the third round that they played the team.
Oh, okay. Right? No, you're right. You're right. Yeah, it was the third round because they were the two seed that year. Yeah.
So let's see. Let me find this bracket as I stall for a moment.
It's all good.
Why is this the wrong bracket? Why are you doing this to me? Oh, because I can't type. I remember the teams. I do not remember the order. Here we go. Okay. So, Loyola Chicago. There they are. So, Loyola Chicago. No, you were right. It was in the second round.
I thought it was, but I let you have it for a second.
You're right. So, Loyola Chicago, I picked them to win their first round matchup against Miami.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that was a popular pick. And then you guys, I said they'd beat Tennessee. And then I said they'd beat Cincinnati. And you guys kind of lost your minds. The Tennessee game was the one we watched from the hospital.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, while you were getting your head stitched up, just bleeding everywhere.
Yep. And then, let's see here. They ended up playing Nevada in the next round, the Sweet 16, and I remember I watched that game from the Carl's Jr. attached to Hockey Stick Resort Arena, the Suns Arena in Phoenix.
The very arena where you missed a layup in front of Clint Capella in hospital scrubs?
Yes, the very same one.
We have some stories, if you can't tell, of those listening at home.
And no, it wasn't that I missed it in front of Clint Capella, it's that I missed a layup in front of Kevin Harlan.
That was a crying shame.
That was the real tragedy.
I wish we could have found Harlan's call of that if he was paying attention.
Because, no, that's the thing. If he was paying attention, it's Kevin Harlan.
Yep.
He totally would have done it.
Absolutely. He's got the scrubs as he tries to work his way back down the floor and he trips over his pants. I'm sorry. It was just... I love Kevin Harlan. Anyway, continue.
But no, and they ended up beating Nevada. They won both those games by 1 point. And I remember, you know, putting up a 3 sign as they drained one while the nurse was sewing my head shut.
You kept trying to come off the table. You kept trying to sit up to look at the TV. And the guy saw we were in Arizona State gear and he just goes, y'all are sports journalism majors, aren't you? We were like, yeah.
And then they beat the pulp out of Kansas State. I don't remember who I had them losing to.
Probably the one seed. That was Virginia. Because remember, Kansas State only got there because UMBC upset Virginia. They got to play a 16 seed in the second round. Kentucky shot 30% from deep in the third round. Or no, it was like 15% from deep. They couldn't hit a bucket to save their lives. And then K-State got lucky with another like weird matchup and then finally lost to Loyola Chicago.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Loyola Chicago kind of got overshadowed by UMBC just a little bit. But then they went to the Final Four and everyone's like, oh.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think at Loyola Chicago, that was a lot of fun. That's the best sports pick take I've ever made in my life. And I did have a Loyola Chicago. My dad sent me a Loyola Chicago sticker after they beat Tennessee. And I had it on my laptop for the next 2 rounds. And then I hung it in our student radio station, and it has since been thrown away, unfortunately. But
that is a crying shame. You should take that up with the sports director at Blaze Radio. I don't know who it is, but you should ask him to investigate that.
I will complain. No one listens to him anyway. So
oh, okay.
But this Loyola Chicago team, you know, I love my Ramblers, and I will be cheering for them. Do not get me wrong. I will be cheering for them whether I pick them or not. I cheered for them last year in the Missouri Valley Conference champion. They're my favorite team in the Missouri Valley Conference, which happens to be my favorite mid-major conference. So I am still a loyal fan of Loyola Chicago. Illinois is just too much. I'm sorry. Sorry, guys. They're going to be Georgia Tech, don't get me wrong, and Tennessee is breathing a sigh of relief that they're not in the same section again, because if they play Tennessee again, I'd pick Loyola Chicago.
That could still happen, though. That's my favorite part about this, right? If Loyola Chicago does, they could be walking into a Sweet 16 matchup facing Tennessee again, fresh off beating arguably the third best team in the country. Like, that would just be so funny.
Is there anyone on Tennessee left from that team?
Probably not, but they all did get an extra year of eligibility, so I'm sure there are a couple of like freshman bench warmers from that season who are like, please, not us.
I might have to look into that.
Oh, man.
Illinois is too much. I have them beating Loyola Chicago, unfortunately, but I am so glad the Ramblers won the Missouri Valley Conference and are back in the tournament. Dayton was so boring when they won the conference. That's lame.
Mm-hmm.
Give me Loyola Chicago.
All right, fair enough. So we have talked a lot. This show is now going on the over an hour mark, which does tend to happen. But again, it's the NCAA tournament, and more to the point, we haven't had one in 2 years. And this is, other than the World Cup, this is my favorite sports event that happens. I look forward to this more than the Super Bowl, more than the NBA Finals, more than a lot of things. So let's go ahead and put the cap on it here. Final four picks, your projected championship, in terms of who's playing in it, and your national champion. And unfortunately, I feel like this is probably where we're going to get really similar for a very valid reason.
Well, yeah, us and the rest of the country.
Yup. Right?
I mean, the Final Four, it's boring. There's 3 one seeds in it. Baylor, Illinois, and Gonzaga are all going to the Final Four. I don't see anyone beating them. I maybe Houston has a go at Illinois a little bit. Maybe. I don't think it's happening.
Yeah, I think
3 of those teams are there.
I think really quickly, just to catch up to where you're at, I agree, Gonzaga, Baylor, obviously. I think personally that Illinois has a lot more talent than Houston does, but I've had the curtain pulled back for me on Houston, and maybe it's going to come back to bite me. I think they've got a shot, and I've actually got them in the Final Four. No further than that, but I've got them in the Final Four. I think they're just a bit of an unknown because they play in the AAC and they haven't really had, they don't have a big resume against these big top 25 schools. But again, that's for reference. That's my pick on that side. But again, who do you have for your fourth spot?
It's Alabama. We talked about it. Texas, Alabama. Whoever wins that game is going to the Final Four. I agree. I have Alabama. I actually have Alabama playing. Let's see. I have Alabama playing LSU, and I think that game is going to be just tremendous.
I thought you were going to take them another round, and I was like, oh, it's about to get exciting.
I considered it, don't get me wrong. But Alabama's too good. I love this Alabama team. They just do everything so well, and they're stout defensively. Alabama's in the Final Four, and in fact, these two Final Four matchups I've got, if you're going to ask me which one is the better one, I'm going to have a hard time telling you, to be honest. Look, I think Alabama's going to play Gonzaga very well.
I think that if there's one team that is mentally prepared to beat Gonzaga in this tournament, it might be Alabama. Unfortunately, I do have Texas picked over Bama, which means I have Texas in that Final Four matchup with Gonzaga, and I don't think Texas has as good of a chance. So I've got Gonzaga, Texas, Baylor, and Houston. And then from here on in, it's probably just going to be a copycat central. Like you said, you, me, the rest of the country. But who do you have in that championship game?
I have Gonzaga and Baylor is going to be sorely tested against Illinois. Again, can Baylor hold up on the interior against Illinois? I'm not sure. I think that could really come back to hurt Baylor. Though, Baylor does have Mark Vidal, who can kind of do things to help the center out from the power forward position. I really like his defense. And I think that matches up fairly well with Illinois. They don't really need that 5-5, per se. I think Baylor can survive. And their shooting is going to have to be hot. And I am anticipating that Baylor's shooting stays hot throughout the tournament and that they kind of get better as the tournament goes along. That's how I think things are going to play out for the Bears. I've got Baylor just beating Illinois. That matchup's going to be ridiculously good. So Baylor and it's Gonzaga. Gonzaga's in the final. That team, good luck.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. And I think, I've picked what I think could happen. But man, if we get the Final Four you're talking about, if it's Gonzaga, Alabama, Baylor, and freaking Illinois, I don't think there's a bad national championship combination that you can make out of that. I think every single possible outcome is a good one at that point. I think it's also important to remember that because we're playing in the bubble, a lot of people will say that, you know, maybe that creates the possibility for more chaos. I actually think it's going to create a possibility for less chaos. And I think that's why, especially in a season where college basketball has been so top heavy with the Gonzagas and the Baylors and the Illinois of the world. I think there's going to be less parity this year. I've got, again, like you, I've got Gonzaga and Baylor, and I've got Gonzaga edging them out. I think it'll be a good game. But man, I just think Gonzaga does too many things so well that, look, if Baylor's shooting is off even a little bit, it's over. It's donezo. That's all it is. I just think I trust Gonzaga a little bit more in this spot, and that's why I've got them picked as my national champion. And I'm guessing you probably do too.
I do not. I have the Bears as your national champion. It's interesting with Baylor. I've liked them since before the year started. And that COVID pause gave me pause with Baylor. I've had them as my potential national champion since the year started. They just do everything a tournament team needs to do. They're incredibly well coached. They turn the ball over a little more than I'd like, I'll say that. But they shoot the three. They guard the perimeter. That's something we don't talk about enough. We talk about, oh, you want to be good defensively. You got to guard the perimeter, and they do that incredibly well. I love this Baylor team. Again, the only place that they can run into some trouble is down low. They're not perfect. And I think their X factor is, and maybe part of me wants to just show off my skill at pronouncing this guy's name, Jonathan Chamwa-Chechua, their backup center. ASU almost played Baylor at the beginning of the year, so I was fully prepared to call a game between ASU and Baylor, and then Baylor got COVID. So I know how to pronounce Jonathan Chamwa-Chechua from that. But maybe it's because I know a lot about Baylor because I did do heavy research into them at the beginning of the year. But
when you are an employee.
and I happen to be on the payroll. I don't know. But I've got, I mean, Davion Mitchell, Jared Butler, Masiotti. That's all you need to know. They've got three guards that can all score it. Mark Vidal's a defensive presence. They've got it all. And again, we like teams that don't need to rely on one scorer. Gonzaga and Baylor don't need to do that. I think Baylor, if they get to this spot, if they're in the final, they're going to be shooting the ball well because they will have had to do that against Illinois. And if they're hitting their threes, they're very nearly unbeatable. I think they take down Gonzaga. I just don't think that Gonzaga is tested enough to go. And we haven't talked about this quite as much as maybe we should have. Is Gonzaga hasn't been really tested this year. They have not. They did play. You know, they haven't been tested, and they haven't seen a team like Baylor. They haven't seen a team that can hit threes like Baylor. They're going to kind of roll their way through. Yeah, they'll get tested by Iowa. That'll be good. They might be a little beat up from Iowa. And I think Baylor is going to roll, and then they're going to get beat up some more from Alabama because Alabama's big. They're mean down low. They're going to get beat up a little bit. And then Baylor's going to finish them off because they're going to be shooting threes like crazy. And Gonzaga, you can't answer if you can't hit a three. If Baylor's dropping those threes and guarding you on the perimeter like they can, you just don't have a way to keep up. I think Baylor's your national champion. They have a better chance, I think, of losing against Illinois than against Gonzaga. But yeah, I think the Baylor Bears take it all this year.
Sure. I don't hate the take. I think the only thing that sucks is that we should have gotten to see these teams play back in December. There was a scheduled game, man, and we were all looking forward to it. Number one, Gonzaga. Number two, Baylor. And then COVID did its thing. But if anything, I think it might make this matchup a little bit more intriguing. The only closing comment that I want to make on this, again, I agree all the way down the stretch throughout the conference play. Obviously, nobody on the schedule worth noting, but there are a couple of games, if you'll remember. This is the same Gonzaga team that came out and beat Iowa by 11 points, early in the season, so make of that what you will. Their other wins over West Virginia, kind of impressive. Kansas, not really impressive. And then, of course, against BYU later on in the season twice, but yeah, that Iowa win is kind of the only, it's really the only thing we have to look and point at in terms of, you know, this team being tested because they don't play in a great conference basketball-wise. I think it would be great to see them play in something other than the WCC, but it is what it is. They play in the West Coast Conference, and, you know, you play your schedule. So we will have to wait and see. But yeah, again, going on here about an hour and 20 minutes of NCAA basketball talk. Want to appreciate everyone who stuck with us till the end. Before we go, any closing thoughts here from you, Ethan? And really quickly, before you give this, I do want to point out, I'm breaking the one sin of making a bracket. You talked me back into Illinois over Houston. I'm going to go ahead and go with the boring pick. I'm going to take Illinois over Houston to the Final Four. No further than that, but I was looking into some Illinois numbers while you were talking, and this team is just too good.
They're ridiculous, and I hesitated to pick Baylor over them, like I said, and I just love this Baylor team so much. It's nothing against Illinois. I think any other year they could go in and beat Gonzaga as well. They're ridiculously good, and they're getting slept on somehow. I don't know how that's happening, but my final thoughts, you know what it is.
Hit me.
Go Ramblers.
There it is. All right, final thoughts from Ethan Jordan. Go Ramblers. No final thoughts from me. Just want to say thank you once again to everybody for tuning in here. Again, whether you get your podcasts on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you listen, we thank you for tuning in and for your continued support of the pod. We will be back with an update. We're going to have a lot of shows coming out here in a very short period of time, so stay tuned. We're going to have a full Formula One season preview. Ethan Jordan will join us again for that. We will also be getting you a season preview on Major League Baseball as we are near, I believe now within either 10 or 14 days of opening day, so plenty of good action coming up there, and we will continue to keep you updated throughout the course of what is set to be a wild NCAA tournament. But that is about all the time that we have today. One last time, for Tyler Henry, for Ethan Jordan, I want to say thank you so much for tuning in, and we will see you next time on the TBH Sports Podcast.